You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are moving into themes in the playroom. And I have had so many people let me know that they've been most looking forward to this. So I know this is the long-awaited category of episodes here. So I'm excited to move into this. So we're going to look at one theme at a time, and there are quite a few. And obviously, there are a finite number of themes that you will see, and we will probably not talk in depth about the lesser seen themes. So I may just kind of brush over the ones that don't happen very often, but definitely the ones that you'll see very frequently and consistently, we'll kind of dive a little bit deeper into those. But I kind of want you to understand there is a framework or a system for themes. And so what we're going to do is look at the categories of themes one by one. There are four categories, and there are themes within those categories. And so we're going to start with the power and aggressive themes. And we're going to go episode by episode with those very consistent power and aggression themes. And then we'll move into another category. So I hope that makes sense. But I want you to be very clear that, for example, today we're going to look at good versus bad. I want you to understand that a good versus bad theme is part of the power and aggression themes as a broad category. And so when we learn what each theme means, it's also helpful to keep in mind what category it comes from, because when we talk to parents and when we talk to caregivers and teachers and principals and all of these people who interact with our clients, it's helpful to be able to articulate to them that the good versus bad theme means something, but it's part of the power and aggressive theme. Gosh, I cannot say that today. It's part of the power and aggressive theme as a whole. So that will hopefully make sense as we dive a little bit deeper and you kind of start to see how each of these themes relate to the others. So let's look at the good versus bad theme today. And essentially what I'm going to unpack for you is why kids will play this out and or what it means in terms of the work that they're doing. So good versus bad, a very consistent play theme. And I think I alluded to this before, so I'm going to take a really short deviation here, quick left turn before I dive into this, because I want to make it very clear. You will almost always see certain themes as precursors to other themes. So remember, the last two episodes, we looked at the phases and the stages of the child-centered play therapy process. So when we're thinking through the initiation, the resistance, the work, determination, and then when we were looking at the aggressive, regressive mastery, that type of progression in the playroom, it would make sense then that we would probably see good versus bad play before we will see nurturing and caregiving play, before we will see competence play. So I want you to keep in mind, oftentimes the power and aggressive themes are means to an end because they have to be tackled first before other themes can emerge. And one final, that was a left turn, we'll make a right turn now. One final quick deviation here from the good versus bad theme is, not only is it important to understand that some usually come before others, it's also important to keep in mind that the reason why kids are playing something out is because that is the prominent issue that they need to work on. And often the hierarchy is that the other themes cannot show up in the play until there's been room made by working on some of these other things. So child processes good versus bad, that then allows them to bring up other issues. And remember, you will see the same theme consistently from week to week to week until all of a sudden it disappears out of the play session. And then it's very clear that the child has largely addressed that issue. So I just kind of wanted to set those as the big pictures so that you understand when we dive into good versus bad, there's a lot of factors that are all swirling together in the play session. Okay, so let's look at some of the details of the good versus bad theme, because I think that's really helpful in not only understanding it, but being able to communicate it. I think it's pretty obvious when a child is playing good versus bad, so it doesn't really require a lot of explanation, other than there's definitely going to be one side versus another, one team versus another, that kind of thing. So you definitely want to recognize when the child is saying, yes, I definitely want to have the cops versus the robbers, or this team versus this team, the red army versus the green army. If they mention, these are the good guys, these are the bad guys, or this is the good team, this is the bad team, it's very easy to recognize. This is one of the more obvious themes that will emerge. Sometimes you really have to be trained in thematic understanding to get what's going on. This is not one of those. It's usually very evident that there's good versus bad. So we don't really need to explain what that may look like, but I want you to understand the process of how this works. So we are looking at most often a reconciliation of opposites for the child. So what I mean by that is, it's really important to understand that every human has good and bad, kids included. And so what matters in the play for kids is that they're trying to reconcile what they believe to be polar opposites that can't coexist. Because in a child's mind, there are good kids and bad kids. There are good people and bad people. And they are either good or bad. And especially if a child has had behavior problems, gotten in trouble in school, is constantly breaking the rule because they're dysregulated, they usually associate themselves as the, I'm air quoting, bad kid. So therefore, good and bad cannot coexist, because a child's world is very black and white and there's very little room for gray. So when you have good versus bad play, often the child is kind of coming up with a resolution of what they believe to be impossible truths that can't coexist. So as the battle is unfolding, as the superhero, as the good guy is fighting all of the criminals or whatever the play scenario is, you have to keep in mind they are realizing that even bad guys have goodness, because you will often see that as the good versus bad theme continues, all of a sudden the child will say something like, yeah, well, the bad guys are actually kind of nice. Or, well, the bad guys aren't actually trying to be mean. Or, well, the good guy's actually turning and they're going to become a bad guy. And all of a sudden you witness them finding the reconciliation of these opposites, because every person has good and bad. You can't always be good. You can't always be bad. You can't always be smart. You can't always be struggling. You can't always be funny. You can't always be angry. So it's kind of this making sense of the world in their very concrete way. So that is the first component of good versus bad, why it matters to the child. The second is you will often see a lot of self-identity work taking place. So when you see that, you're constantly aware that they are figuring out which side they're on. In other words, if good and bad can coexist, do I want to be the good guy or the bad guy, or whichever one I chose at the beginning, I'm free to switch. So their self-identity work becomes very important as they are figuring out who they are, who they want to be. And let's circle back to early episodes. So when we go back to Rogers and we go back to person-centered, and then we look at child-centered and we look at the progression, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, please start at the beginning. They are very much intended to go in order. So when we're looking at Rogers and we're looking at his principles, what is his belief about the therapeutic process? It's all about self-actualization, which, if you don't know what that means, again, I talk about this a lot in early episodes. But self-actualization is the child becoming the best version of themselves that they can be. Now, if they are stuck in, I'm the bad kid, I always get in trouble, I always have been labeled and branded as the one who never follows the rules, et cetera, all of a sudden they're going, but wait a minute, I don't have to be that kid, because the ideal self and the actual self, there's a bridge that's formed. So my actual self is this, but I actually ideally want to be this. So how do I get there? Well, that happens in the playroom. That's their self-identity work. So not only do we have the reconciliation of opposites that I just talked about, but we have this identity work that's taking place where they're seeing that there's another alternative. They're seeing that there's a possibility of being an obedient child, a kind child, a child that does not get in trouble all the time. So you absolutely, when you see good versus bad, are aware of the identity and sense of self that's being formed. And then, oh, and a note on that, the child chooses one side usually. So we haven't talked much about the archetype, but the archetype specifically in sand play work, but even in the playroom as a whole, a child will often identify a character or a miniature or a toy in the playroom that represents themselves. And even if they don't outwardly say it, if you know what to look for, you're able to identify that that's the child's archetype. So when the largest military figure is in charge of one team, whether it's the good or the bad team, and they play the largest one in first person, that's the child's archetype. So the child is putting themselves as the commander or the general or the sergeant or whoever's in charge. Okay. So when I mention archetype, that's what I'm referencing, the child's representation of themselves in their play. So where the child puts themselves matters. So are they on the good team or are they on the bad team? Do they talk about first person on good or bad side? And when you watch that unfold, it gives you a really good sense of what the child thinks about themselves. And keep in mind, sometimes kids are never, ever, ever allowed to break the rules. They are in such a rigid, structured, dictatorial household that they're scared to death to break the rules. So they may align themselves with the good side because they don't feel that they can align themselves with the bad side, but eventually they'll switch. And then conversely is also true. The child has been branded or labeled or pigeonholed as the bad kid. So they automatically put themselves on the bad side because they don't think they can be on the good side. But through this good versus bad play, they are able to reconcile those things and realize that they can actually switch and have a new identity. So there's the first two components. And then another piece of the good versus bad is often there's a people-pleasing component to the play. And you have to be able to kind of tease apart what the good versus bad play means based on the child and their needs and what they're working on. But really super people-pleasing kids will almost always play out good versus bad. And that is usually because they really want to switch roles. I don't want to always be the perfect kid. I don't want to always be the kid that follows the rules. I don't want to always be the kid that is scared to death of getting in trouble. And the playroom provides the freedom to have alternatives and to explore new things. So sometimes the super anxious people-pleasing kids will play out good versus bad because they need to switch roles and see what it feels like to have a different, an alternative identity. So those are my thoughts on what the significance of good versus bad play is. Now, again, I want to make sure it's very clear. This is a power and aggressive theme. So when you have good versus bad play, big picture, it's about power and aggression. And that helps you to communicate and articulate to parents what they're doing in the playroom. So think about that from a power and aggression standpoint. They are putting themselves in a position of power, or they're putting themselves in a position of lack of power. And their play is almost always aggressive because good versus bad almost always has conflict. So there's a component of aggression too. And those are healthy outlets because a child has to find a balance of power and a child has to find a balance of aggression because we all possess both. So again, it's about finding balance, just like good versus bad is about finding balance. So I hope you find that helpful. I hope that helps you to understand what good versus bad play means. And I feel like I need to give credit where credit is due. So a lot of the themes and the study of the themes that I've done comes from a modified version of Helen Benedict's themes that she put out. And so I want to make sure that I'm giving her credit. I have a long list of themes and the implications and the meaning and all of that. And that's what I give to the therapist at the center. And that is, I mean, I've done a lot of study of themes, but the one that I kind of refer back to pretty consistently is Helen Benedict's. It was an excerpt from her work. So I just want to give her credit. That is where a lot of this content originally came from and that I will reference. So we will dive into another power and aggressive theme next time. If you are interested in coaching, either for your child-centered training or for private practice, if you have a goal or a dream to be in private practice, I have a coaching program. So please visit playtherapynow.com if you are able to move to Florida. I have an opening at the center. So there's some opportunities available at playtherapynow.com. Please email me, brenna@thekidcounselor.com. I would love to hear from you. Questions, comments, thoughts, something you're wrestling with, something you need to tease apart. I'm so grateful when you all reach out. So I would look forward to hearing from you if you have any interest in communicating that way, brenna@thekidcounselor.com. We will talk again soon. Next episode will be a listener question, and that one's going to be really powerful from Jeremy. So looking forward to doing that. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.